Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, The Payavrata Process of Worship, Text 21. Sa vidasyati te kama harir dinanukampanaha amoga bhagavad bhaktir netareti matir mama savidasyastite kama harir dinanukampanaha Amoga Bhagavad Bhaktir Netareti Matir Mama Savidasyatite Kama Harir Dinanukampanaha Amoga Bhagavad Bhaktir Netareti matir mama Savidasyatite kama Hadir dinanukampanaha Amoga bhagavad bhaktir Netareti matir mama Savidasyatite kama Harir dinanukampanaha Amoga bhagavad bhaktir Netareti matir mama Savidasyatite kama Hare Matira Mama Savidasyas Tike Kama Hare Nama Kampana Hare Bhagavad Bhaktir Hare Matira Mama Savidasyas te kama Hare dinara kampana Moga bhagavad bhaktir Netareti matir mama Vaishnavis Savidasyas te kama Harir dinanukampanaha Amoga bhagavad bhaktir Netareti matir mama Savidasyatite kama Harir dinanukampanaha Amoga bhagavad bhaktir Netareti matir mama Savidasyatite kama Harir dinanukampanaha Amoga Bhagavad Bhaktir Etoriti Matir Mama Savidas Yatite Kama Ariadina Kampana Amoga Bhagavad Bhaktir Etoriti Matir Mama Saha, he, Vasudev, Vidasyati, will undoubtedly fulfill te, your, kaman, desires. Hadahi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dina, unto the poor. Anukampanaha, very merciful. Amoga, infallible. Bhagavat Bhaktihi, devotional service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Da, not. Itara, anything but. Bhagavad Bhakti. Oh, I see. Okay, I miss it. Okay, itara, anything but Bhagavad Bhakti. Iti, thus. Matihi, opinion. Mama, my. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very merciful to the poor, will fulfill all your desires for devotional service unto Him as infallible. Any method other than devotional service is useless. That is my opinion. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very merciful to the poor, will fulfill all your desires for devotional service unto Him is infallible. Any method other than devotional service is useless. That is my opinion. Purport. There are three kinds of men who are called akama, mokshakama, and sarvakama. One who tries to get liberation from this material world is called mokshakama. One who wants to enjoy this material world to its fullest extent is called sarvakama. And one who has fulfilled all his desires and has no further material desires is called akama. A bhakta has no desire. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. He is purified and free from material desires. The mokshakami wants to achieve liberation by merging into the existence of the Supreme Brahman, and because of this desire to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is not yet pure. And since those who want liberation are impure, what to speak of the karmis who have so many desires to fulfill? Nonetheless, the Shastra says, Akama sarvakamo va mokshakama udaradihi Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Quote, whether one desires everything or nothing, or desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. End quote. That's from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Kashyapa Muni saw that his wife, Aditi, had some material desires for the welfare of her sons. But still, he advised her to render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, everyone, regardless of whether he is a karmi, gyani, yogi, or bhakta, should invariably take shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudev and render transcendental loving service unto him so that all of his desires will be duly fulfilled. Krishna is Deen Anukampana. He is very merciful to everyone. Therefore, if one wants to fulfill his material desires, Krishna helps him. Of course, sometimes if a devotee is very sincere, the Lord, as a special favor to him, refuses to fulfill his material desires and directly blesses him with pure, unalloyed devotional service. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 38-39, Krishna kahe atma bhaje mage vishaya sukha amrita chade visha mage e bada murka ami vidya e murka vishaya kene diba svacharanamrita diya vishaya bulaiba. Quote, Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. End quote. If a devotee maintains some material desire and at the same time very sincerely desires to engage at the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna may directly give him unalloyed devotional service and take away all his material desires and possessions. This is the Lord's special favor to the devotee. Otherwise, if one takes to Krishna's devotional service but still has material desires to fulfill, he may become free from all material desires, as Dhruva Maharaj did, but this may take some time. However, if a sincere devotee wants only Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna directly gives him the position of Shuddha Bhakti, unalloyed devotional service. Om Vijnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Nalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The verse again, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very merciful to the poor, will fulfill all of your desires for devotional service unto him as infallible. Any method other than devotional service is useless. That is my opinion. So this is of concern to all of us who are attempting to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but may still be harboring some material desires. Of course, the ideal position is to be approaching Krishna without any material desires, as Lord Chaitanya prayed, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmanishware Bhagavad Bhaktir Hoitiki Twayi. You know, I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want position, I don't want the reputation of being a great scholar, I don't want a pleasant spouse. I just want to serve you without any material motive, lifetime after lifetime. So that, of course, is the ideal position. But as Srila Prabhupada is indicating in the purport, everyone may not be attaining that position immediately. So sometimes to show mercy to a devotee, Krishna removes the material attachments that the devotee might be trying to take shelter of. There's one verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes several times, Yasyaham anugrihanami harishyetad dhanam shanai. The Lord says, if I want to show my mercy to someone, I take away all of their material possessions. This verse is spoken by Lord Krishna in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In chapter 87, the chapter ends with a recommendation to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, without deviation and without interruption. So, having heard that from Shukadeva Goswami, King Parikshit, you know, asked a question. You know, he was a little bit concerned because he said, I notice that for those who worship, you know, demigods like Lord Shiva, they tend to be very opulent in this world, whereas if one worships the Supreme Lord, Hari, then generally they become impoverished. So from the material point of view, it didn't seem like very encouraging. So in that connection, Shukadeva Goswami began to describe why that is. So first of all, Lord Shiva, the demigods, they're in contact with the material energy. So if someone approaches them, then their material desires can be very easily fulfilled. Whereas Krishna, Lord Hari, is completely transcendental to the material energy. And therefore, if someone becomes attracted to Krishna, their material desires and possessions quickly vanish or go away. And it was described that this same Shukadeva Goswami mentioned to Maharaj Parikshit that the same question had been asked by King Yudhisthira of Krishna after the Ashwamedha sacrifice he performed. And it was at that time that Krishna had spoken this verse, Yasyaham anugrihanami harishyetaddhanam shanai, I will take away all the possessions of a devotee who I'm merciful to. So sometimes that happens. Srila Prabhupada indicated that he felt Krishna had been merciful to him in that way in his own life, because at a certain point, you know, he was in householder life and he was maintaining his family by a business, and by the arrangement of the Lord at a certain point. Srila Prabhupada said that business failed and he had to, in his mind, take more complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, he was always taking shelter, but he was saying that for our instruction. So, in my own life, I could see the application of that verse. In around 1973, I received a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is from some devotees at a Grateful Dead music concert in upstate New York. And I took the book home and I read it and I was very much impressed by it. And I wrote to the secretary here in Los Angeles asking for more information, and then I gradually learned about the temples of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And I visited one of them, the Buffalo Temple, for a Ratha Yatra. And I could see, well, this was an option for me. I could, if I wanted to, join the Hare Krishna movement, give up whatever material ambitions that I had. But I wasn't inclined to do that. I was saying to myself, well, I'll just take whatever I can from this and apply it in my life. But I would go back and forth about it. I think, well, maybe I should go surrender at a temple. And then I'd think, well, no, there are other things I could be doing. Like, once, I was traveling, I was thinking of going down to Florida, and I was thinking, no, maybe, I should go and join the temple in Washington, D.C. And then I thought, no, I've got some money. I've got my backpack. I'm going to go to Florida. And I was hitchhiking doing that. So then one night I was getting out of a car in North Carolina, and the person who was driving the car, he sped away with all my stuff and money before I could get it out of the car. So then I was remembering this verse, Krishna will sometimes, to help a devotee surrender, take away everything. And I was there with nothing, not a penny. So I decided maybe that was a sign from the universe that I should, as the book says, surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sometimes Krishna is merciful to devotees in that way. Krishna does take things away. Of course, Krishna can also give things. Says Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yoga chemam vahamyaham. I provide the necessities for the bhakti yogi so that the bhakti yogi can carry out his or her service. So sometimes we see that for service, Krishna provides some material opulence to his devotees. Or in order to carry out the service, sometimes one is put in a position of leadership, and one has followers and responsibility over wealth that has been given by Krishna for service. Of course, in that case, one still has to be very careful that everything is done for actual service purposes. Otherwise, you know, Krishna may again decide to take away. So, another point in here, it's mentioned, it says, it's something that could be misunderstood. It says, a bhakta has no desire. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada goes on to say, he's free from material desires. So the devotee can have desires for the service of the Lord. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasagira nikalas apivastasu jivan mukta sauchite. So iha means desire. So iha yasya harer dasye. The desire of the devotee is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various ways. So the devotee is actually full of desires to please Krishna, please the spiritual master, please the devotees in various ways. But without expecting anything material in return. Of course, if sometimes one does still harbor some desires, but in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the description of Bharata Varsha, yeah, it's mentioned by the Lord that if somebody who's entering devotional service still does have some material desires, then Krishna may fulfill them. But he'll do it in such a way that the desire will eventually go away. Yes, you want this, I'll give it to you. You enjoy in according to the rules and regulations of devotional service, but eventually that material desire will go away. So sometimes Krishna arranges things like that. But in modern materialistic society, people just have unrestricted desires because of the fundamentally atheistic and materialistic climate of the age of Kali. So that even if people do believe in God, you know, they simply pray to God for more and more material things. You really can't hardly distinguish the people who believe in God from those who are atheists, because, you know, they have the same goals in mind, ever increasing satisfaction of more and more material desires. And in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that mentality. You know, he explains that because people think there is no God in control of the universe, that everything is just matter operating according to material laws, they become full of material desires, countless material desires that they can never fulfill, and therefore they become very frustrated. You know, like we see in society, there's lots of opportunities for material sense gratification, but people still aren't satisfied. You know, they become extremely frustrated. Lord Krishna says they become full of anxiety from the beginning of their life to the end, you know, because they think that the only purpose of human life is to gratify the senses until death. And they can never satisfy all of their desires. And in the process of doing that, you know, Krishna says they create horrible things meant to destroy the world. So basically that's what we see around us, this mad pursuit of sense gratification, but so much frustration, confusion, violence, environmental destruction. So the only way out, you know, the only way out is to adopt the practice of devotional service to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Krishna will remove the desires, or Krishna will satisfy them in a way, in a legitimate way, a way that's legitimate and in a way that will help one towards the ultimate goal of becoming detached from material desires. But that doesn't mean no desire. You know, the devotees are not striving to become impersonalists. They are striving to awaken the spiritual desire to serve and please the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various ways. And Krishna, being a person, he reciprocates with the devotees. And when the devotees experience that reciprocation, then we should be trying to understand how Krishna is being merciful to us, how Krishna is reciprocating with us by giving us opportunities to serve him. And we should appreciate the mercy that comes when we get a little taste of the bliss of devotional service, because that's what enables one to give up material desires that are not helpful on the path of devotional service. That's how one develops what Krishna calls in Bhagavad Gita a higher taste. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have yes? Sarapu?
And that if you surrender to their church, to their God, to God, you will also become bountiful. And they have thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of followers. But you Hare Krishnas, as we heard this morning, preach that if you serve God, he'll take everything away from you. So why would anyone want to join the Hare Krishna?
He'll also take whatever bounty one gets from, you know, the process of a kind of karma kanda approach. And ultimately, the kinds of things one gets in that way do not ultimately satisfy the real desire of the soul. So one remains in the cycle of birth and death. And so there's a price to pay for that kind of opulence, material opulence. And if one wants to pay that price, then Krishna allows such people to do that, if that's what their real desire is. But if they develop any doubt about that process, if they experience that, yes, although I have been given this and I've been given that, I've been given so many things, I'm still not satisfied, and they want to know the reason why they're not satisfied, then that can Krishna can open the path of devotional service to them. But it's not that Krishna never gives anything to his devotees, as I was mentioning. Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham, whatever one actually needs for one's spiritual service and advancement, Krishna says he will provide. And there's so many examples of Krishna providing for devotees, like the story of Sudama Brahmana, who was a little bit impoverished. But he had gone at his wife's request to Krishna and given a little offering to Krishna, and in exchange, Krishna provided him with great opulence, which he didn't even really desire. So Krishna knows, God knows what we really need, and he'll provide it. So Swavas Prabhu.
And these points always come up, I think, through the years. But I was just thinking about that point when Sri Prabhu was saying is that, you know, when I was a kid, it wasn't like there were like a tremendous amount of rich people. I think a lot of people were just like, you might say, middle class. Very, very like living in simple homes. You know, I'm sure most of us my age know what I'm talking about. It was just like there wasn't this high intense greed and philosophy about getting everything and anything you can get. And I think that all of us remember that within the last three decades, there have been, each decade there's a name for that decade, you know. I can't remember all of them right now, you know, like, yeah, the me and this thing and that thing and, you know, and the greed generation. And so it appears to me that Krishna does provide everything for everyone. When I was a kid, I never felt a need for anything, although we lived a pretty simple life. But I never felt any disturbance or agitation, and we went to church on Sunday. And all my friends were the same way. But these days, it appears that the demoniac philosophy is becoming more and more Kali Yuga. And the greed factor is becoming more and more pronounced. And we see that now that there's something like 80 people in the world that have more money. I just read this. There's 80 people that are like multi-billionaires. They have more money in their possession than all the you might say, poor people of the world. It's not just America, but of the world. You can just imagine, you know, the lopsided nature of things. So when we hear these kind of things in the Bhagavatam, yeah, it's true. You only need so much to really go on and be happy. And at one time, there was that there. But I think due to the Kali Yuga progressing and the nature of the living entities and the demoniac nature and the greed and the philosophy and the bogus philosophy of American society of go out and get it, you know, just do it and get it and it's yours. All you have to do is just, what do they call that philosophy? Mimamsa, is it? Yeah, karma mimamsa, that, you know, if you just work hard, and you just get out there and do what you're supposed to do, you are going to make it, brother. And so the young generation is accepting these kind of philosophies. And in the terms of trying to accomplish that, there's so much cheating and divorce and just mayhem in society. So I would say that Krishna provides everything for everyone just to maintain life and be happy. But these days you can't be happy. Because of this philosophy that's being pronounced, especially in the Western culture. And now India's picking up on it too.
But even being from nice middle class families, we still weren't satisfied. there's something missing.
Jutta Karma Prabhu, thank you for the very scholarly lecture, and thank you for your book, Forbidden Archaeology, and kicking on the face of the rascal scientists and gyanis. Really appreciate that. Thank you.
So how much do I owe you for that?
No, we are all in your debt.
Jai.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.